I'm so delighted today to be able to share the story of something which has intrigued me for many years as I've been driving along the M5. It is the story of the statue, which appears, then disappears, and then reappears from time to time in different guises, floating in the Black River or in the section of water where the Lisbeck and Black Rivers converge in various portions of the river from time to time. She moves around as much as she changes her face. Her name is Hope, and if, like me, you've wondered where she comes from and what her story is, your questions are about to be answered, because joining me on the virtual couch today is her creator, Fred Dupriere, who is an art director and self-proclaimed riverman. Fred, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's lovely to finally be able to get some answers to the questions I'm sure many of us have had for many years. Welcome.
Yes, thanks. I think it's due to many reasons, but I think we spoke before and then it never happened, mostly because of shyness. But I think it's time to sort of lift her out of the conundrum of oblivion and not knowing what's going on, because I've been approached by so many people about who knew me, and I said, share this, you know, just make it, push it a bit.
Fred, I'm so delighted that you've decided to speak to us today. As you've mentioned, we've tried to start this conversation many times, and I'm just delighted that we have a particular reason for doing so today in the form of the new base that has been added to the statue, which we will talk about in a few minutes' time. But talk to us about the beginning of this project, Fred. How did Hope come to be in the first place? What was the inspiration behind it?
So Hope came about like this. I was driving up in the West Coast near Doringbaai, I think it's Doringbaai. I was looking for small boats to purchase for a project we were doing, and I was just overwhelmed by the amount of people who wanted to sell their boats, and these are beautiful wooden boats, but amongst them there were also like rubbish stuff that were punctured, etc.
Yeah.
And I returned to Cape Town with a truck and a trailer with boats, which we mostly use for this project, and then for my sideline and for my own entertainment, I then started building. I fixed up one of these boats, and for Christmas I wanted to put it into the Black River with something in it to celebrate Christmas. And that was my whole story about 11 years ago. I think it was it never became a Christmas tree. It became this character that was given a name by people, and they called it the Grim Reaper. And I was quite shocked when I thought, okay, everything you make is, every image you show has got an effect on people. I certainly didn't mean to make a Grim Reaper. I just made a character standing in a boat.
Amazing. So people misconstrued the intention behind the statue, perhaps, in that early iteration, Fred. But they were intrigued by its presence. I mean, I remember the question starting, what is it? Where did it come from? Who's responsible for it? I mean, over the years, she's come and gone. She's looked different. She's been made out of different materials. Have you had to sort of sneak her out there, or is it something that's done with permits in place, etc.? Or is it something that the city turns a blind eye to? I've often wondered from a sort of a legal perspective how the city views her presence there. Fred, do you even know? Have you asked?
In the beginning, we would go when the sun would go down, and because we thought it's illegal. And as I started changing them, because that boat has changed about, I've counted recently, about 14 times.
Yeah.
And not always due to, five of them got stolen because they were good boats.
No.
So people would see someone coming with a bucket in a trailer, and there goes the boat with a character inside, and they're gone. And then I started making them out of vessels that no one would want, but they could float. What did you ask me?
No, I'm wondering whether you said initially you used to sneak it out at sundown because you were worried that it was illegal.
No,
have you since established,
is
it technically illegal? Do you have to have a permit for it?
I think it's illegal. I'm not sure. But the thing is, it's such a positive story. I mean, for me, it's a positive image. And I've once had two police vans parking, watching us taking the boat into the water and giving it anchors, etc. And they afterwards they said, oh, that was a job well done. So I kind of thought, like, okay, I've got the cop supporting this, so I can't go wrong.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that they take that attitude. Fred, I mean, the name of Hope, is that the Lady of Hope? Is that a name that you gave her at some point, or did somebody else attach that moniker to her?
That name arrived kind of in the Zuma years, and I called her Hope because I really thought that time, if there's one thing this country really needs at that time, it's kind of a big dose of hope.
Yeah.
And then she had a child, and so that's when this character really to manifest itself. But it also relates to the history of that river, and Cape of Good Hope.
Yeah.
It's probably the where I got that name from. It's from where we are, geographically.
Yeah.
And also my hope. In sort of the 2014, 13s, 14s, 15s, 16s, I really needed hope. But hey, look where we are.
Look where we are now. We never cease to need hope in this country, Fred.
Sure.
A big part of the project is to do with awareness of the river itself and what we put into it. I drive that stretch all the time. Anybody who does knows that, unfortunately, it's visible. The litter in the river is visible. The encroaching weed is visible. It's not in very good condition, and it sort of improves a little bit and then goes back again. It waxes and wanes. This is particularly pertinent to what you've just done recently around the base of that statue, Fred, because I think the issue of plastic pollution in the river is something you're very concerned about.
Yes. As I got to know the river, because every time you go there, you have to go into it. And quite often when you go into it, and if you have a cut on your hand, that cut gets really bad. One or two of the guys that always help me, sometimes they get like down with really hectic stomachs. And that's from getting any of that water in you. And so we started moving up that river, go past the golf course, further up near the waterworks in Athlone. And we started realizing that it's a sewer or it's a rubbish dump, but there's water on top of the rubbish dump. As you walk into it as well, you pretty much become aware that you're walking on all kinds of stuff, from boxes to suitcases to tires to stuff that's been there for long.
Yeah.
And for me, I just can't get this. I can't get this about us humans, that we cannot look at that and think that can be an amazing river. There can be walks next to it. There could be people cycling there. Like, I've seen this. You've seen it too. Maybe in cities like Berlin or New York, people use a river, and it does not take an enormous amount of money. It takes care of you and me and your neighbor and that person walking over the street. We need to get aware. Otherwise, we're going to be swamped by this rubbish dump that I'm seeing Cape Town developing as. I mean, it's just, I got a thing with rubbish. And that river is beautiful. When you sit there, there's a lot of animals. Well, there's bird life in that water. There's a lot of fish. So it's not like nature has given up, but we certainly have given up because we just don't care. And the stuff goes in there. So for me, it's become pertinent and it's become my thing. We've started this thing, Clean Rivers, Clean Land. We've put our own billboard up there next to the river. And this is the beginning of Clean Rivers, Clean Land. I know there's many other issues in this country. There's people with nothing. But killing nature is not nothing, and not caring about it is also not nothing. So it's on equal level. We just need to rise above this comfort zone of not caring.
Yeah. Now, Fred, the statue's got a new base quite recently that speaks directly to the issue of ocean pollution and river pollution, because the base is made not of a boat, but out of waste materials that have been recycled. Tell us a little bit more about what you've done.
So I had a major problem with keeping anything that I put into the river afloat, because I don't really have the technical knowledge of what makes a thing float for a long time. And they used to capsize and they used to sink, and it was a story getting them back. And then I was approached by Hilton Cowie from Envirolite Concrete. And they do a concrete mix, and in it they have a, I don't know if they want to know, because it's what they trade in. But if you look at Envirolite, they do an alternative to building materials. They do alternative building material, and they have built us a base. It's about 2.5 by 2.5, and it's a huge thing. And it's all from recycled polystyrene mixed into this concrete. It's basically what they do. They mix concrete into polystyrene chips, which they then get from depots that do recycling, where they mulch the stuff up. Mm-hmm. And all their work is done like this. They incorporate this principle in all the stuff they make, all the building blocks. It's from recycled material plus concrete. And it's amazing. This block is heavy. 8 men carry it in, but it's floating right on top of the water.
amazing.
And this is the same material that we're using to do cheap builds, which can also be a thing that we can bring into our type flats where people need something better than a shack. You know, we need to start thinking like that and move on. There are people like Hilton Kauri, who's got this technology, and they're using it, and they need the support of business and of especially government.
Mm.
And this thing has been standing there now for about a month and a half, and not an inch of movement. It's in the same place. It's going nowhere.
It's amazing.
So I mean, he really saved the situation.
I mean, it's fantastic. It's, as you said, it's difficult to wrap your head around that something so heavy it takes 8 people to carry it out can sit there and float. I know that Plastics SA has also been part of that, contributing
yes.
PET bottles to sit in the middle that help, obviously,
yes.
with the flotation.
Yes.
But it's incredible to think. And as you say, it is a lesson on what can be done if these alternative techniques are applied with a little bit of creativity. Fred, I mean, has it inspired you to think bigger for the next iteration? I mean, this is a statue that you make and remake in different forms from time to time.
Yeah, it needs to change now. So I'm speaking to people who can actually sculpt, and for me, another issue at the moment, besides the rubbish, is the law, what we see as the law. You know, I think there's less concern for what is law. So we're thinking of doing the Lady of Justice next, and scale it up, make it a bit bigger. I hope to get this going before the end of the year. But yeah, I would like to introduce a new piece into the river that says something as well about what we are and how we're living. And I don't want to preach to anyone. But people can look at stuff. There's a woman who wrote me a message last week, and she said she's been following this piece since it first arrived at the top part of the river.
Yeah.
And now it's at the bottom section. And what she notices is I've turned it, and it's facing seawards, and she can't stand it. Mm-hmm. She wanted to turn around because she's been in the struggle, and she knows Hope has been in the struggle. And now I've turned her around, and she's just like sitting easy. I must turn her around, and she must face the river, and she must stand up again. I said, yeah, but I'm giving her a rest. She can't just always fight, you know. She's like taking a break. So this is like comments from people that you obviously don't know. I've got a Facebook page for this character, and it's for me, it's meaningful, and for people it's even more meaningful. So I quite enjoy the fact that when people look at it, it's a positive energy, and that's it, you know?
Yeah. Fred, I mean, it's wonderful to hear the story behind her finally. If somebody wants to check out that Facebook page and read up a little bit more and look at photos, where do they find it?
They can go to Riverman, and it's dedicated to the fictional character Hope.
Riverman on Facebook. Okay.
Yes.
Fred, final question then for those who don't know what I'm talking about and are scratching their heads because they've never noticed it. I hope they're few and far between. She's currently right there at the convergence of the Lesbeck and Black River. Well, that's where I last saw her. Is she still sitting there?
She's completely there, and she's been sitting in the same spot now for, like I said, like a month and a half since I've been rescued by Hilton Hell. And I would just like to also mention that John Kisser from Plastics SA, who is in an industry that's frowned upon, is doing unbelievable work to get people involved in cleanups. They do massive cleanups, river, sea. And he's also been behind us with a lot of support. So there's strong people involved, but and they remain anonymous, but they're there.
Fred de Pryer, it's lovely to answer some of the long-held questions about the Statue of Hope standing at the convergence of the Lisbeck and Black Rivers. Fred is the art director behind the project, who first created the original statue 11 or so years ago and continues to reinvent her. Fred, thank you so much for joining us today, and I look forward to seeing the next iteration of the Lady of Justice when she's ready. A great pleasure to have you on the show today.